Good morning, Louise.
Good morning, Tracy.
Here we are live again.
I know. Have you been not listening to a repeat?
This is not a repeat. Yes. You do not need to thing. Check your website.
Yeah. there should be a, you know, when they do those tests on the radio, this is an emergency test. Yeah. In the event of a real
emergency broadcasting system.
Well, this is a real radio show.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're live. That's Except right. now tomorrow and Friday, we're going to be not well, live, but whatever. It's current to this week.
That's right. It's yeah. not a repeat.
Yeah. So you've had a busy summer so far.
Yes, as have you.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's been a bit crazy, but that's it's okay. We knew it was going to be like that. We're prepared.
Summer in the
I don't need to sleep. I can sleep in October.
That's what I say too. October. It will be October.
It will be because now we've extended the Cardiff and Miller exhibition till September 19th.
Isn't that fantastic?
Well, it is very exciting because it gives us an opportunity to get the schools in to see it. That is the big deal.
So the teachers and mom helpers at school, please encourage your classes to go. Mm-hmm. It really is like
it's
nothing
fun.
Before.
Kids are so digging this piece. Like, it is so awesome to watch kids interact with this.
And it's world class.
It is.
And we'll never see it again.
Nope.
No. So.
Well, I mean.
Well, unless you fly to London
Australia. You could go to Sao Paulo.
Perhaps, yes.
And Santa Fe.
Santa Fe.
Later on in the winter.
But Salmon Arm is only till September 19th.
Yeah, yeah.
So don't miss it.
Yeah.
Do yourself a favor. Mm-hmm. And it's not like it's a whole day thing.
No, it can be a 5-minute thing or a 20-minute thing. I mean, it doesn't have to be horrendous. No. But I just think, you know what's really been nice about this is that the gallery hasn't been so crazy busy that people haven't had the opportunity to have their own time with the piece. That's been really nice. There's been kind of a nice even flow of people. There's been the odd time where there's been 10 or 12 people in the room. It's a bit noisy then.
Yes.
And you don't really get a feel for it. It's really nice to be right on your own or else
on
just two or three people.
And that too is a gift.
It is.
Probably couldn't get that in London.
Well, exactly, in
or
a big
at the
city.
National Gallery, yeah.
Yeah.
Because there's lots of people.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so sound has been very important in our summer.
It has been. And
quite familiar our sound installation artists. And
we had a great weekend over Roots and Blues.
Yes, great weekend. I thought the site looked fantastic.
Yeah.
And I thought the sound was really good.
Yes, I actually
the quality of the sound.
Yeah, I was just mentioning to you before the show how nice it was to not have to leave because the music was compressing my chest.
Mm-hmm.
It was really nice.
Yeah, bass will do that, I guess.
Oh, I've always had issues with that. And then I just feel like, all right, I guess I'm too old for this. I have to leave.
Mm.
And I never get to enjoy the final act or the finale.
You do your best and then, oh, yeah. Well, good. That's great.
It was good sound. Yeah. I was really quite happy. Yeah.
Nice.
So congratulations on whoever managed the sound this year.
Yeah, they did a great job. I don't think the site's ever looked better, honestly.
Yeah.
The tables and the shade sail and that little buskers all over. And
those big sails.
It felt more wholesome than I remember.
Well, you know, I heard two comments yesterday I thought were very interesting, both on the same vein, that it felt a little bit like it used to feel.
Oh.
Back when it was a slightly smaller festival.
Okay.
And they really liked that.
Yeah, only three stages used to be six.
Yeah, one time. Yeah, it was six. It was crazy.
And only 30 acts as opposed to 50. I think it's been as high as 60.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always questioned what is the value added of another band. Like,
well, I guess there's always that. I mean, I get it because of running WOW, right?
Yeah.
You want to do a wide appeal so that you get as many age groups as possible in there to enjoy it. But I think, you know, maybe they have to focus in on a demographic, their regular ticket buyers.
Yeah, and they're curating an experience and they have to know their, it's like anything really. But the other piece of sound that's been important has been WOW. And and you WOW me again because you're, what are you doing?
What?
You're having an extra.
Well, we might be having an extra
WOW. We might be having an extra WOW, which I just think,
well, it was
given
because,
the summer and everything that's happened, I can't believe.
I know, I don't, I can't believe myself that I'm
even. I can't believe the District Arts Council would even say, hey, I know, why don't we host a 13th concert?
Okay, here's the thing. It's because Seal Skullhammer was rained out, right? And those guys are awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that they play all over the community anyway throughout the year. It's fine. People have another opportunity. It's not like they're from, you know, Sweden and they'll never be here again. But they're just really cool guys and they're fun concerts
and
they
were so sad.
They were sad.
Yeah.
And so it just so happens that the first Wednesday in September is before the Labor Day weekend.
True. So technically it's still,
I don't know. We're throwing it out there. We're still, there's a few people to confirm before we can say, yes, going to do it, but it's possible.
All right. Well, if you're listening and you have some thoughts, make sure you let us know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh. Wow.
I know. Cause usually by August 26th, I'm like, I know. I'm so ready to be done.
But technically tonight would be, no, next week.
Next week would be the finale. The finale. Sam and Armenians.
But there might be a finale.
That's right. It's a bonus.
Stand by.
That's what it is. There's the finale, and then there's the encore, right?
And then, of course, when it comes to sound, we're here at Voice of the Shuswap.
Yes.
Community radio. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to talk, or sort of start our comeback tour, I guess, because we've been off for several weeks, talking about public radio.
Yes.
And how important sound waves and sound and,
well, you know what got me all kind of going on this?
Tell us.
Because on Friday, mm-hmm. before Roots and Blues, mm-hmm. I was at the Blue Canoe having a wonderful latte, watching Chris Walker do his live show Daybreak from
CBC.
From CBC Radio. And that was lovely. And mm-hmm. Chris is just a really stand-up guy. So pleasant and easy to talk to.
Also a deadhead, apparently.
Yeah.
He loves the Grateful
Dead. He did a really good piece on the whole connection from Roots, like from those early kind of rootsy, bluesy kind of songwriting styles right through to the Grateful Dead.
Oh, and very
Woodstock.
Cool.
Woodstock. Yeah, it was really kind of interesting.
Well, that's what you want in a radio host, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, so this all ties together because Adrian Yochum was there mm-hmm. with him, and Adrian, you've heard of Adrian mm-hmm. on the radio a few times. He's
news updates, weather updates.
Yeah, yeah. And so he was there, and Leah Shaw was there. I think Leah was kind of producing.
Shaw.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. Producing the show. Anyway, so it's quite lovely to watch the live show unfold like that. It's great. And mm-hmm. you cheer at the appropriate times.
Aww.
And and he talked to a couple people live.
Do they have an applause sign?
No, but no. He does warn you ahead of time.
He does.
Okay, we're gonna come back live, and a cheer would be great right at that point. And I don't know, we all figured it out.
Yes, the audience
we didn't
just
need a
knows.
Sign.
That's right. Okay.
So we had a lovely morning, and then right near the end of the broadcast, Chris said, "This is Adrian's last show."
Mm.
And of course, that's all news to everybody in the room. So we're like, "What? Oh no!" And and you could tell it was a tense moment. You could tell both Chris and Adrian were fighting the emotion of that.
Yeah.
And Chris was just kind of powering through. Yep. Adrian's been a great addition here. And,
oh my goodness.
And he's a, music festival junkie, and congratulations on having a nice weekend at Roots and Blue, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Da, 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 da. And Adrian, you could just see it, right? He's like, he's kind of smiling, nodding, but you could see the pain. And it was really kind of harsh. And so as soon as he was off air, as soon as he signed off,
mm-hmm.
Chris said, "I can't say this on the air, and I'm not sure I'm not allowed to say this on this air, but I think it's important to know." Chris said, "I can't say this on the air, but Adrian was the victim of the latest rounds of cuts at CBC Radio."
Aww.
And it's been horrendous for them. They just keep losing people.
Right.
They don't lose the required job responsibilities, right? They still
need to do the
same thing,
the
but
same
you keep
work.
Losing people right. with which
so
to do it.
This is not about being more productive. This is like seriously cutbacks.
This is a real problem mm-hmm. because public broadcasting is the core of our democratic process. Mm-hmm. Like you were saying before,
it's
free
third leg.
Yeah. Free press.
Yeah.
Everybody, honestly, we were all just stunned. Everybody just, it was really hard.
So he knew going in.
That, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's such a passionate medium.
Mm-hmm.
And we're so, when you really think about the science of radio and just sound waves going through the air, right?
Yeah.
And that it only exists because our minds let us, right? Like our brain is ultimately the best receiver, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And broadcaster.
And radio is a totally different. It makes you feel different than watching TV or using the internet.
Oh, yes.
It's a different feel. And then public radio mm-hmm. is a whole different feel.
A whole
feel.
Different feel.
So it's a huge area to discuss and study. We could talk about it for hours.
And
probably,
I mean, it's not just the CBC. They'll be referenced many times this morning, but it's also NPR in the States and the BBC right? And community radio, university radio, high school radio, college radio. I mean, these are important waves of information that need to go
into the world.
Yeah.
And, right? And the purpose, we need the waves to come into our brains.
Exactly. Because yes. the purpose is not just to make us feel good sitting there listening in our cars, right? No. Those people are journalists. Mm-hmm. They investigate, they research, they find things out that we don't take the time to find out. So we need to make sure that those people still have jobs. Mm-hmm. And that's what's happening now is they're being cut. I mean, that's what's happening when they're cut is that they can't take the time now to do the investigative journalism. Now they just have to regurgitate stories that are already existing and easy because they don't have the manpower to do it.
So much infotainment.
Yeah.
Britney Spears' birthday. How is that useful?
I don't know.
I mean, I think it has, we have to be useful in life, right? And we need to send the information and we need to receive the information. That's what design is also about.
Yeah.
Transmitting and receiving and coding and uncoding and and marketing in general is all about coding and uncoding of messages. But radio is such a powerful, immediate vehicle to do that. If you think about how you get your information in the event of an emergency.
Yeah.
Radio.
Yep.
Right?
It's true.
You flip the switch and there it is.
Yeah. And right? It's a really basic technology. Mm-hmm. Like, did you know you could basically make a radio signal, a radio transmitter with a 9-volt battery and a coin?
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know. Ooh, science experiment. Okay. Watch out.
So if you get a radio, turn it to a dial where you just get static.
Yes.
And then you have a 9-volt battery and like a nickel or something, right?
Yes.
And you just tap the two ends, with so that you're touching both of them at the same time with the coin.
Yes.
Tick, tick, tick. You'll hear that click, 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 click on the radio.
Yes.
Because you're making a transmitter, basically. And its range is like a couple of inches. Mm-hmm. So it's not big. But you could tap out Morse code.
Yes.
And you are actually making, you're transmitting.
Ooh, that feels like a MacGyver episode.
It could be.
And then people will say, well, we have the internet now. Why do we need radio? But you know what the internet needs? Power.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And you can listen to a radio that has a 9-volt battery.
Yeah, you can use a wind-up radio.
Yes.
I mean, there's lots of kind of non-power, non-plug-in ways to use radio. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because it's that fundamental an information technology, and it's the basis for a lot of other technologies that we use. And it goes back to the 1800s with Hertz, like Hertz waves.
Yeah.
And Marconi, and they had this big competition going on who would get it done first. Although they always say that, but I think they probably didn't even know who each other was.
Right? Well, now, like if you look it up and say, who invented radio? Well, it's like a huge paragraph. I don't know why
it's called radio, because it's actually...
I know, I don't it's, really...
You're transmitting. Oh my goodness, that's probably... There you go, interference.
What? What was that?
I don't know. Is somebody making a radio out there?
Somebody with 9 volts clicking away.
No, sometimes my phone, when it's about to ring, makes the radio make a funny noise.
Okay, so that is an interesting example of radio waves.
Yes.
And how first people's, like the scientists that were figuring it out, realized that there was something wireless going on.
Yeah. Well, see, wireless. So it's actually remember they used to be called transistor radios?
Yeah.
So is the radio is the thing that the wave comes into. But we make it sound like radio is... what we say in our shows, like I have a radio show. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's a bit like saying, I watched a VHS tape, right? It's almost like we're identifying the...
Oh, the vehicle. With the
vehicle,
the
yes.
Content.
Yes.
Oh, interesting. Well, anyway, the electromagnetic technology.
And I tried to look it up, but I couldn't log on to the... In the station, sometimes we'll come in early to kind of... massage the show out and,
research,
like do our little warm up. And, but the password changed. So I couldn't quite get to the bottom of why it's called radio.
So now we're going to just make stuff up because we don't have the internet. Yeah. It's like double check R is
for radical. Awesome.
Yeah, that's right. It's an acronym. I'm pretty sure that was, what's his name? Hans Christian Oersted. Yeah. He made up the acronym. Did he? I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just making it up now.
No, see it, but I'm so gullible. I'm like, oh, look at you all organized. So we don't know. Anyway, again, if you're out there in the radio world and you know why it's called a radio.
Well, you can't Twitter us, can't tweet because we don't have Wi-Fi. You could text Elise.
Yes, you could text me.
Radio.
That
was my friendship attempt at radio.
Very good. Radio. And in Radio Canada, in French is actually CBC, right? But it's also television.
Yes, yes. Well,
okay, so that complicates the whole thing.
Well, it does. We yeah. have to, well, can we just, I mean, before we get into the culture of radio,
yes,
let's just talk a little bit more about CBC because okay. they've got quite an interesting history, of mm-hmm. course. So early in the 1920s, it was identified that there was a need to create a Canadian presence mm-hmm. because a lot of Canadians were tuning into American broadcasting signals.
Well, that's what happens when you live in a belt right above the yeah. border, right?
Yeah. Like, of course you what do. Is it, 80% of our population yeah. lives within 100 miles of the American border yes. or something like that. Yeah. So there was definitely an identified need, and the federal government actually established a royal commission to mm-hmm. advise on the future of broadcasting mm-hmm. in Canada. So this is what they came up with.
They don't do
with.
Those anymore, royal commissions. I know. They're important.
What's with that?
I don't know.
We need more royal
yes,
commissions.
Yes, we do.
The queen needs to come over across the pond and yeah. say, okay, you guys.
Send a few people time to their for another room royal to commission. Think about their yeah. behavior. Anyway, sorry.
Okay, no, okay, it's okay.
Yeah.
And so they decided, yeah, we need a public national broadcasting, like a radio broadcasting site. And so they started that process. And of course, it was established by the 30s. And yeah, there was lots of really important historic moments had happened throughout those first decades or so. But of course, in the 50s, guess what was invented? The TV.
The TV?
Yeah. And so because CBC...
Radio with pictures.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was already established, it immediately moved into that realm, mm-hmm. right? And established CBC Television, mm-hmm. which was really critically important because mm-hmm. from there, Canadian content.
Yes.
And so continued with the purpose of making sure that Canada's cultural institutions were protected. The democratic sort of process of our country and our identity had its own voice. Mm-hmm.
And that's where culture comes from, content.
Yeah. yeah.
And it's really challenging for people to... I think I have a better understanding of the importance of developing authentic content, whether it's regional, provincial, national, mm-hmm. because I lived, because I'm from Quebec, so I understand the minority, majority, mm-hmm. right? So you have to protect, like, Quebec is the cradle of French civilization in North America, totally surrounded by English. So you have to protect it, and it drives people crazy when you tell them about language laws and education laws and but the same thing goes for content. People get frustrated with Canadian content rules, or why do we have to play so many Canadian songs, and why are we subsidizing the publishing of Canadian books? Well, it's important.
It's important
because otherwise we would be
American.
Yes, it's that simple.
Yeah, mm-hmm. We do have to protect Canadian content, and because it's not easy to protect yourself from outside influences.
Absolutely,
right? Like,
not.
It is very challenging. I don't watch a lot.
Just
of
think
TV
of it as walls and a roof of our culture.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, it infiltrates us no matter what mm-hmm. we do, mm-hmm. and we can't help it. And it's really hard to identify what's what nowadays.
Yes,
and so isn't it better that there are regulations? Like, I know a lot of people like the whole deregulation
yeah,
thing. They're like, no, let's be free market, all that stuff. But isn't it better that we have a requirement mm-hmm. that we have to protect certain parts of our Canadian identity? Otherwise, we would totally lose track of what is authentically
yes,
Canadian.
I would argue that all industries are regulated. The question is by whom?
Ah.
Right?
Yeah.
So when we talk about public versus private, I mean, there is, the private sector is much better at certain things than the public sector. Mm-hmm. That's true.
Yep.
There's no doubt about it. But the public sector is better at some things than the private sector.
Yeah.
Because of the end goal.
Well,
right.
Exactly, because the economy factor mm-hmm. is pretty much the private sector's mm-hmm. goal, right? Like, let's make a buck. Let's get shareholders what they need. They want increasing dividends mm-hmm. and they want to see their market share increasing
and
value.
Their measure of equilibrium is different than the measure yeah. of equilibrium.
Whereas when you've got a regulator that's government that's supposed to be thinking more about long-term sustainability, mm-hmm. cultural development, environment, mm-hmm. Social issues, right? Like, they're supposed to be thinking about all those things. They're making decisions based on that rather
yes.
than the money bottom line.
Right.
Or at least they're supposed to be.
At least they're supposed to be.
And so all industries are regulated. The question is by whom?
Yeah.
Right? And so when we deregulate and privatize public airwaves, I think we can get into some trouble.
Mm-hmm.
And we see it happening. Again, there's a role for public radio. There's a role for private radio. It's just about finding that balance.
Yeah.
Right?
Did you know that CDC...
So I don't think it's fair to say, well, how come they can't make money?
Yeah, well, right? And CBC Radio was a commercial radio right up until 1974.
Is that right?
Yeah. They allowed commercials.
Mm-hmm.
But they decided at that point to be commercial free and to make it, you know, like a corporate free environment.
Yeah.
Now, of course,
I CBC love commercial free
television, but is a whole different thing.
Oh,
right?
Like and CBC television's kind of a bit of a mess right now, anyway. But,
but
not
I mean,
sure
they,
about that. It's a that's right a tough market. Although with all the election ads, all the TV stations are making piles and piles and piles and piles and piles and piles of money.
Oh gosh!
So as hard as it is to watch all that nonsense, and a lot of it is nonsense. That's my opinion. You know, your local radio stations are getting very wealthy. So that'll keep radio...
TV stations.
Radio and TV
are
doing okay. And so that's good for the airwaves, but And it's just... and what motivates us to develop deep, thoughtful content? Like, do you think CFOX in Vancouver, as fun as it is and as well loved as it is, and they joke and laugh and make fun of people all the way during the drive hour, do you think they could ever produce a show like Ideas?
Oh, yeah, no.
No, and not that they don't have the caliber or the will or the want, but it doesn't work in that business model.
Right.
So the world is about balance. You know, mm-hmm. you need a little bit of everything.
Yeah. And we can only manage so much fluff.
Right, and could you see Peter Jaski reading celebrity birthdays on the air?
No,
of course not.
No.
So there has to be some balance. People need to have a choice, and we listen to different. I mostly listen to CBC. I listen to Voice of the Shuswap. Of course, I like Voice of the Shuswap online. That's my online.
Yeah,
I go to.
Yeah,
of course.
But don't you think
my password today? So I couldn't, but maybe next time.
Don't you think it's interesting though how CBC Radio and CBC TV survived that time in the 80s where, like, the multi-channel universe exploded.
Yes.
It was like big bang of multi-channel mm-hmm. universe. All of a sudden there's Super Channel and First Choice and like all these movie channels. And then there was all the, like the Golf Channel and HGTV and all, like just, it became this mm-hmm. enormous selection or
specialized.
And all, remember the days when there used to be CBC and CTV?
Oh yeah. The channel and the other channel.
Yeah. That's all you got, man. Yeah. And you either watch the news or the news.
Yeah.
Yeah. 10 o'clock. And mm-hmm. so.
And Saturday morning cartoons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And Disney movie on Sundays. So it was, it's kind of says something that we weathered that storm. Mm-hmm. I should say we, that the CBC.
No, that pop storm. Or the BBC or NPR.
Yeah.
Or, right? So,
yeah.
So there is a very important role.
There is. And every time.
Public broadcasting.
Yeah. And every time there's been a massive technological advancement, they think that's the death of radio, right?
No, Netflix.
Like when TV.
It's gonna kill radio.
Yeah. And Netflix. When TV was invented, they thought radio was dead, mm-hmm. right? Then when color TV came out, it was like, oh, that's it. Radio's dead. and then the internet or the specialty movie channels and then the internet and, you know, all these things. But the CBC keeps integrating mm-hmm. the new technologies mm-hmm. into its mm-hmm. existence. Mm-hmm. And so it can.
It is very forward looking. I think people think because it's a public broadcaster, it's kind of fuddy-duddy, old school. But they're really quite hip.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, now they don't even consider themselves a radio TV.
No. They're content. They're in the content
delivery.
Right? Yeah. And so, but
multi-platform.
I feel like in a public broadcasting world, there's more opportunity to develop content.
Yes.
As opposed to rebroadcast content.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, and that's important because someone's got to make the original content.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's like a crazy game of, you know, when you talk in the other person's ear and it goes around the circle.
Yeah.
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 Secret or whatever that is.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's like one crazy game of that. So all the same stuff keeps going around and around and around.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that makes us dumber.
It does because then we all tune out, right?
Oh.
Like then we're like, oh, blah, yeah, I've heard that before.
Exactly. Yeah. And you know, that's, and so when we talk about another famous Canadian icon, Noam Chomsky, manufacturing consent.
Yeah.
What he was talking about there was the concentration of private media ownership. And like it or not, those airwaves belong to us.
Yeah.
Everybody. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because it's
why the CRTC is important. Yes, they're a nuisance. I'm sure there are even radio hosts here at Voices of Shuswap who find it, you know, a challenge. There's lots of paperwork, lots of rules, but it's so important.
It is.
It's a public asset.
Yeah.
And it needs to be protected.
Yeah.
And it needs to be valued.
And when you're looking at it as a purpose too, like if you're told, okay, no, you have to create Canadian content, you have to, well, look, let's look around then. What do we need to do? What we need to record stories, the elder stories.
Yes.
We need to document festivals. We need to, right? Like then you look for the things and then you are still building this authentic Canadian experience for the listener.
Yes.
So it's
really?
All.
Yeah. And if it weren't for Canadian content rules, you know what we wouldn't have?
What?
Bob and Doug McKenzie.
Well, that's right, because they had to do the whole 70% thing or whatever.
They were a direct result of Canadian content CRTC rules. And I don't care. They could make me do sit-ups. I'd be like, you gave me Bob and Doug, I'll do the sit-ups. Honestly, I will. Right?
Because they had to, what did they do?
Try because SCTV had to qualify for Canadian content to get a spot.
Right.
And they said, yeah, it's fine, but you need 3 more minutes.
And so they had the most Canadian 3 minutes they
group
could think of.
Of, you know, Canadian comics, you need 3 more minutes of Canadian content. What do you do?
Yeah.
Lumberjack coats, case of beer,
yeah.
Bacon jokes, donut jokes, right? And there you were.
A
hoser, right? So.
Oh, my gosh.
They really are. But in a way, it's. Like, it's really quite an amazing story.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there are many other examples of, but, and it ties us together and we can look at each other in the mirror and go, hey, I know those people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. So.
So, before we are going to take another break in a minute here, but, maybe when we come back, we can talk about a little bit about the, actual effect on our brain. Of radio.
Absolutely.
Because that actually is quite interesting. But I just wanted
to... Yeah, because you sort of crave it. I crave radio.
Yeah.
Yeah, like chips.
Well, yeah. And
or chocolate.
It does give you a different feel. And I just want to say there was a study that studied radio, TV, and internet and the happiness factor.
Mm-hmm.
And radio gave you the highest happiness.
Mm.
Like 300% more than TV and internet.
Wow. Which is so interesting. And there's a science to that.
Yeah, there is a science.
So Tracy has duly researched.
Well, because at home I had Wi-Fi.
Oh, there you go. See? I tell you. It's ironic. We're doing a show about radio and I'm whining about the fact that I couldn't get on the Wi-Fi, on the Wi-Fi. On the interweb.
So on the interweb.
It's all tied together.
It is. But anyway, so.
But yeah, what radio makes you happier.
Radio makes you happier. And this particular study just points out that programming on radio is generally designed to elevate your mood.
Okay.
That's why they think radio makes you happier. Whereas on television, there's lots of blood and crime drama. You don't necessarily get happy.
Oh, yeah. I call them the dead people shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, there's a dead guy and you got to figure out.
Yeah. And then there's another dead guy.
Yeah.
And then that guy shows
and then
up
there's
dead.
There's the guys who figure out why the guys are dead. Yeah.
Yeah. And they have to look at pictures of dead guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I can't.
It's just not my thing. Not my thing. I can't. So you don't get happy watching those, I can tell you.
Well, I don't. But
yeah. And then internet, of course, you're kind of bombarded by a whole lot of things you're not necessarily inviting into your home. No matter what you're doing.
Well, you can't curate it as much. You can't say, well, I'll just read this article. But then you're like, there's a whole border of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Trying
lose
to
weight
sell
now and
garage.
Cheaper mortgages stuff. And
yeah,
better love lives and all that stuff.
It's just, it's a bit confusing and it meddles with your focus.
A
I
little
think.
Bit.
Yeah. So anyway, so there you go. And then here's something interesting too. The alpha wave state, right?
Yes.
Like, you know, when you meditate, you're in an alpha wave state.
Right.
Well, when you watch TV, it also puts you very quickly into an alpha wave state. And when you fall asleep, you're going into a delta wave state.
Okay.
Now, when you're watching TV, you go into an alpha wave state bordering on delta wave state. So watching TV, you are almost asleep.
Okay.
You're basically sleeping with your eyes open.
Okay. All right. So it's an idiot box. box, right? That's what my parents used to say. Get out from in front of that idiot box. Yeah. Go outside and play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And with radio,
yeah,
that doesn't happen.
No, it doesn't.
No.
It's funny because I almost can't work. Like, as I was saying, I crave radio. Mm-hmm. So sometimes at our office, it's always on. At your office, it can't be on because it's a public space. But sometimes I have to leave your office and go to my office because I can't work without the radio on.
Oh, wow.
Like, I can't process.
Interesting.
It's weird.
Well, that's in my studio. I have to have the radio on in my studio when I'm working.
Because it has to do with how your brain waves work, I guess. I don't know.
Well, and I remember Jennifer Krumka came and interviewed me once, which was lovely. She's just a very wonderful gal and works for CBC in Kamloops. And she asked me what music I listen to when I'm working in my studio. And I said, I don't. Like, I listen to CBC radio. I said, it just somehow... I get through, you know, I don't know, The Current, and then this, and then, oh, maybe Vinyl Tap, and then all of a sudden I've got a painting.
There you go.
Like, it's just so weird. Wow. It just kind of happens. And she thought that was very interesting I guess maybe because you're engaged, right, in a conversation that you don't have to talk.
Yes.
But you're still engaged somehow. You're thinking along the same lines. You're responding
without
talking.
And you're processing information from the, like, and they talk about introverts and extroverts.
Yeah.
And really the difference is a extrovert can't think without an outside impact, and an introvert can only think without an inside, without an outside impact. So I can't work unless there's outside stimulus.
Oh, wow.
Right? Whereas introverts can't
work when there is an
outside stimulus. Yeah. So it has nothing to do with how fun you are at cocktail parties. It has to do with how your brain processes information.
I thought that's
information,
all that was about.
Right?
Yeah.
No, but you know what I mean? Because, they're very introverted and very extroverted. But,
yeah.
So.
Oh, interesting.
No, I do need the radio.
Yeah. Well, I totally, mm-hmm. You're a thinking girl, so it's important. It's important to continue to think about current affairs and to listen to other people's opinions, listen to genuine information and form your own opinions. Mm-hmm. I think it's all very critical in terms of keeping your brain healthy.
Yeah, and I'm not trying to be judgy. I just think it's an important part of the culture to develop deep, meaningful content.
Yeah, okay.
If we expect to make decisions that have deep, meaningful impacts, you know, we have to have the need input. Give me the input.
Yeah.
Right?
There's a fellow that used to volunteer with the gallery, used to help Eric with the installations.
Yes.
And he always said, if it wasn't for CBC radio, I'd be stupid.
I'd be stupid.
Because they would have all these intense conversations about things that they'd heard on CBC radio, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I bet you if you listened to public radio for a year, it would be like getting a university degree. Like, intently listen.
Yes, yes.
They've said that too about the Globe and Mail. If you read the Globe every day, cover to cover, it's pretty much the equivalent of a university degree.
Yeah. And so actually, like you said before, in terms of using your imagination when you're listening to radio, you fill in those gaps, right? Mm-hmm. You don't have to fill, or the visual isn't filled in for you. You fill in your own visual, which is much like reading a book.
And you make up the characters, you make up the sets. Like, your brain has to work a little harder.
Yeah.
That's the thing about TV. Maybe they kind of put it all out there.
Yeah.
There's no room for your imagination.
They're just vomiting it out, a pre-chewed product.
Yeah. They figure out what everybody looks like. Whereas what I love about radio is I have a picture of what the host looks like in my head.
And then you see
a picture. And then you see them on, and you're like, wait, no, that's not Red Cloth. You know, you're so sure.
I know.
That's not what Bernie McNamee looks like.
I know,
right?
It's so funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I thought that thing about Cheryl McKay and even Sheila, what's her?
Yes.
You know, oh God, course. I forgot her last name. Yeah.
Rogers.
Yes, Sheila Rogers.
Yes.
I actually, for years I had this idea of a black curly haired.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. And you know, freckle face. I don't know.
Or
and then
Stuart McLean.
And then I see that picture and I'm like, what?
Yeah.
And like for years, right? She's been on CBC for like, you know, 100 years.
She was there with Peter.
Yeah. Yeah.
Who's my favorite.
But anyway, I love that part where you see a picture, and I've seen a picture in the Globe and Mail of some TV host, and I actually, oh, Eric, look.
Yeah.
Look what she looks like. It's so exciting.
It's almost disappointing because you have a picture in their head. Yeah.
Well, it's kind of like reading a book and then they make a movie of that book. You're like, no.
Oh, I know.
That's not the right
so
character.
Frustrating.
Yeah.
Although I have to say The English Patient, I thought they did a good job. I It kind of looked like it did in my head. I mean, if we're talking about that, but.
Okay. Onward.
Onward to the. Well, so we're, so on? We were going to talk a little bit about the meaning of radio to us and the yeah. role that it's played in our lives. Tracy has a lovely radio story.
Well, so once upon a time, in our right after we graduated from university, we moved up to live in a cabin at Good Fair, Alberta.
Nice.
It was a cabin that was owned by one of our professors, and he offered it for really, really cheap nice. In exchange for some renos. So we went and lived there from the time that we got out until that following October. So I guess 5 months.
Mm-hmm.
And there was no... there was like one power outlet
yes.
out there, enough to run a hot plate and a radio.
Aww.
And so we were way out in the middle of nowhere with CBC radio
mm-hmm.
for the whole summer. No TV, no other form of entertainment and, you know, some books.
Yes.
And the renos that we had to do. So that was probably the first time, like, and I'd listened to CBC radio all,
mm-hmm.
you know, normally anyway. And we did in the studio at university too. But that summer, I felt like I became very attached to all of the programs mm-hmm. on the radio. But one in particular, on every night at 10 o'clock, and I don't remember the program this was part of, but they were reading the Arabian Nights.
Oh, wow.
So every night at 10 o'clock.
To stop what you're doing.
Oh, yeah. We had to yeah. either be back at the cabin or be in the car mm-hmm. because we had to listen.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know the Arabian Nights, you know how how it works, right? It's a story on top of a story on top of a story inside of a story. Oh, no, you've never read...
Well, I've not, no.
Okay, well, but. The concept is that it's the new bride
yes.
of an Arabian prince.
Yes.
He traditionally marries a woman, and then they have a lovely night together, and then he kills her the next day.
Oh!
But she starts to tell him a story. She knows this.
Okay.
And she doesn't tell him the end of the story until the next night.
Oh!
And so he doesn't kill her because he wants to know the end of the story. But, yes. of course, every story has a new beginning inside of it, so there's never an end.
Ah.
It just is addictive.
Wow.
And so whoever was reading this.
I did not know that. It's a French thing. I missed a whole bunch of stuff.
Like, oh, yeah. Maybe. So on that summer was just magical. Every night listening to the Arabian Nights on CBC radio was like our thing.
Yeah.
And I just remember it forever and ever.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Aww, a great bonding experience.
Yeah. And I wish they did more reading, like just reading of books mm-hmm. on the radio, because mm-hmm. there's something about being read to that makes you feel all comfortable
it's
and
true.
Happy.
Yeah, and you don't have to be little.
Yeah.
Yeah, we do love to be read to, yeah. don't we?
Well, like audiobooks when you go on a long trip. Do
yes.
you ever get audiobooks?
No.
You don't?
No.
Oh, man.
I should, though.
It's the most awesome thing.
Yes.
We've listened to all the, that Bradley fellow, the guy that did the Flavia Deleuze novels. No? Oh, the first one he did was The Sweetness at the Bottom of the Pie.
Oh, wow.
And like Flavia Deleuze is an 11-year-old girl, 11-year-old
yes.
English girl, who's like a detective, right?
She's
a little tiny
so,
detective,
yeah,
chemist
like the
girl.
Nancy Drew of
yeah.
Yeah, the UK.
So okay. we listened to those. Oh, they're so fantastic because this wonderful British woman just does a beautiful job reading
oh,
to
I
us.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. So
nice.
We just go to the library and load up yeah. one of those on our before our trip and we're good to go.
I just feel like... Well, for me, CBC is my audiobook. I
yeah,
just listen
yeah.
to
I know it's kind of like a magazine in a
yeah.
way then, isn't it? Somebody's
yeah.
reading a magazine.
Exactly. It's great. But I mean, I think, you know, for me, being living in a half French, half English household, I feel like CBC connected me to the English part so I understand better, right?
Oh,
yeah,
nice.
Whereas when I was little, French. So I'm more connected to French children's stories and children's shows and children's movies, but CBC helped me come into the English adult world, which I appreciate.
Wow.
And general public radio, PBS, NPR.
Yeah.
Those are important, you know, reliable sources of,
mm-hmm.
of content so that I could build this sort of experience of what it would be like in this world as opposed to the other one, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
I love radio too for humor. I think we forget how important that is in yeah. our lives.
You probably, like us, you probably have a lot of driveway moments.
Yes, right? Where you have to sit and finish listening to the debaters.
Yeah,
yeah. So I think the humor piece has always been important for me.
Yeah.
I feel I can get through almost anything with a good. a good giggle. So yeah.
So yeah, the debaters is so fantastic.
Yeah, and there's so many moments on radio, like when Stuart McLean and Peter Zdarsky, you know, broke up laughing over the dead cricket, stuff like that. Or and it's somehow we're in our most vulnerable when we're laughing, and somehow when we're laughing, we're able to kind of overcome whatever it is. So I think humor is really important. And I'm so glad that, speaking of public, 22 Minutes and Rick Mercer will be on October 6th.
Oh.
So they'll get a...
Yeah.
Well, they'll get to humor us before the election. Because last time they were off the air.
Oh.
But now it's such a long election campaign that they'll be on air.
Yeah.
And I think that could have a big impact, speaking of culture.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just my little two cents.
Yeah. Rick Mercer is pretty critical in terms of Canadian content, isn't he?
But funny.
Oh, right? Yeah.
Yeah. And it helps us understand.
He's a national treasure.
Yeah.
It
humor
does
helps us.
You're right.
Yeah.
It does. It transcends.
Put things in context, because we take ourselves so seriously.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's funny.
It is. And actually.
Because it's true.
Yeah. Yeah. And the, speaking of Stuart McLean, the stories, his Final Cafe stories are, I mean, they are national treasures too. I love
Which
the Dave
one
and
is
Morley
your,
stories.
David, or the, you have a favorite, the turkey one that
you
listen to?
Dave Cooks the Turkey is Dave a favorite. He plays it every Christmas.
Yes.
So that's got to be a favorite.
Yeah.
But there's one where Sam, the son, gets a job at the Italian market.
Oh, that's a good one.
Oh, that is a good one. I love that one.
Yeah.
It's lovely. But actually, and then the one where they get stuck in the parade and the cat barfs in the car.
Oh my goodness.
Anyway, there's so many favorites. It's all good.
So someone here, if you're a Stuart McLean wannabe, you know, you can take the radio course and knit your stories and come and tell them on the radio.
That's right.
It's so important for the community to hear from you.
It is.
Don't be afraid.
Our local voice is as important as the national voice.
Oh, yes, it is.
Yeah.
And I don't know. This is a privilege, but it's a privilege that's available to everyone.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. And all you have to do is learn a little bit about the CRTC.
Yes.
And how to press some really important buttons.
That's right.
And now,
as the art world turns, a dramatic moment in the arts.
Dun, dun, dun.
I missed that.
I did too.
Mm-hmm.
Did you listen to us over the 3 weeks, 4 weeks?
I did listen in a couple of nights. I had a lot of company. So sometimes when everyone's in bed, I'll sit on the front porch and put my earphones on.
Yeah.
Listen in.
Listening to Canadian content.
That's right. So this isn't, I mean, this is a dramatic moment in the universe, I guess, or the history of the world, but it had to do with radio.
Mm-hmm.
And that was when King George VI made his famous speech in 1939 at the outbreak of World War II.
Mm-hmm.
And it was made into a movie, which many people have seen. But I think it's a very dramatic story. And it really speaks to the power of radio, because Hitler was a fantastic speaker.
Yeah.
And he could, you know, let's just say capture the attention of a crowd. King George VI was not a fantastic speaker, and quite suddenly put in the role because his brother abdicated to marry Wallace Simpson.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a stutter.
Yes.
So,
which really puts a stop to a lot of speech making, usually.
Yes, exactly. And he needed for the country to have confidence in his leadership and, you know, understand the peril of the situation they faced, but be able to overcome it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, with the help of a special therapist, and, you know, he screwed up his courage. He did it, and it changed the world.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it changed the world.
Wow.
And my mom says she remembers it.
Really?
Yes. You think the Super Bowl is big? The King's speech.
Yeah.
It was broadcast all over the Commonwealth.
Yeah. Wow.
And so sometimes I'll come in here and I'll be a little bit, oh, I'm not prepared. I'm a little nervous. I'm a little tired. Or I don't feel like doing this. Or what if I mess it up? And I think, well, at least it's not the King's speech. Can you imagine the pressure? I can't imagine.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
have you seen the movie? Though?
Yes, yes, I did. And it was fabulous.
Yeah. I could hardly stand it. Oh, there it goes again.
It was also, I mean, no, you're right. It was, it showed how one person's confidence to overcome can affect Yeah, like yeah, world
and
history.
And use of the right medium.
Exactly.
And the right message
yeah.
can change the world.
Yeah.
It's so powerful.
And one guy.
One guy.
Yeah.
I mean.
And yeah. then the error and the airwaves, right?
Yes.
One guy and this technology of radio. Yes. Changed the course yes, of history.
It did change the course yeah. of history. And of course, there's other famous speeches, you know, John F. Kennedy
and, yeah.
And Churchill. And
Winston yeah. Churchill's very famous speech he made in Canada was mm-hmm. a really big deal for CBC radio in the early days, too. That not the entire country wouldn't have even been aware mm-hmm. that Winston Churchill mm-hmm. was in Canada mm-hmm. if were it not for his speech on
right?
CBC.
And so whether you're listening to world leaders speak on a topic, or you're listening to a Jays game.
Yeah.
Go Blue Jays. I'm a Blue Jays fan.
Yeah.
Yeah. Since we last met, I discovered the Blue Jays.
Oh, how lovely.
Yes. So.
I went to a Blue Jays game when I was little.
You did?
I did in Toronto. Yeah.
Yeah. When it was still at the CNE?
No. I don't remember.
Was it
where
in the Sky Dome? Do you remember?
No, I don't think it was in the Sky Dome.
Okay.
I guess
so
it would be in the CNE.
Yeah, yeah. I went to that too.
Oh.
Not that game, but I went once too. It was 72, I think, was when they started.
Oh, well, I think I was well into my like 8 or 9 or 10 years old. So I would have been like more like 75, 76.
Mm-hmm.
I have to look back and look at that. Okay. Yeah. Anyway, now here's.
Go Jays.
Yeah, go Jays. speaking of dramatic moments.
Yes, that is dramatic.
It is very dramatic. And it's probably more dramatic than what I have. But mine is a science thing.
Oh, yeah.
That I had a moment where I went,
what?
I was so excited.
All the studying of radio.
Yeah.
And what did you learn? Well, tell us.
I learned that sound does not exist outside of the brain.
Mm.
I know.
Dun, dun, dun.
It is. It's,
that's way,
yeah. It's pretty dramatic.
Yeah.
So sound is just air molecules moving, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's produced by vibrating air molecules. I'm going to read a little bit here. So
okay.
Don't just, you know, I'm not being authentic, but... It's produced reading by vibrating air molecules connecting with the eardrum at varying frequencies and velocities.
Mm-hmm.
The process starts with the brain's primary auditory cortex receiving a signal from the eardrum, which immediately activates our primitive brain, the mm-hmm. cerebellum. And the two allow the brain to start analyzing the sounds. So it breaks down the sensory stimulus into pitch, timbre, spatial location, amplitude, reverberant environment, tone durations, and onset times of different notes.
Wow.
So we are processing all of these air molecules moving around and that in our brain turns it into sound.
Isn't that amazing?
Do you know what this means?
What does it mean?
That if a tree falls in the forest and no one's there to hear it, it doesn't make a sound. Because it's only air molecules moving.
There's nothing to process it. Next week, we'll sort out chicken and egg.
we'll give you the answer, because this is where you get answers.
Tune in. Nice. If a tree falls in the forest and no one's there,
yeah,
nobody hears.
Nope, nothing with a brain.
Yes.
Like, because a bear will hear
yeah,
it.
Yeah, okay.
A squirrel will hear it, right? But anything, like if there's no brain to process
there's
the
no
air
sound.
Molecule movement, there's no sound.
Oh my gosh, we are transistor
Mind
radios.
Blown.
I know, right? We kind of are transistor
we
radios.
We are just walking transistor radios.
Yeah.
Walking thinking transistor
wow.
radios.
Wow.
I know.
Okay.
Wait.
All right.
That just reminded me of my daughter
my
this morning
again,
just said,
so.
She said something about her battery. She needed to replace her battery. She goes, ha ha, that sounds like I'm a robot.
Yeah.
I'm wearing down, but I need to replace
Must
my
replace
battery.
Battery. Must. When I heard that one, must have input.
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. Gosh. So, yeah, I'm pretty excited about the sound waves
yes.
concept. Like, I can't believe that question was answered.
Yeah, and then it brings us back to the whole, I mean, what a nice segue back to how we started the show talking about Cardiff and Miller.
Yeah.
Which is all about sound.
Yeah.
Sound as a medium, and it's so mind-blowing.
It is.
And
there has been the odd person. So I'd say 95% of visitors are like, wow, that's so cool. I'm making my own thing. And
yeah.
this is neat. I like this sound. I like this part that's music. I like this part that's machine noise. I like the laughter. I like the storytelling, whatever. Everybody's got this thing. But there is a little tiny percentage of people that honestly say, like, what is it? Like, what are they trying to say?
Yes.
And so I have to actually, like, I don't really like to, and I don't think Janet and George want things to be explained to people. I think they want to create a sensory experience
mm-hmm.
that you get your own thing out of. You know, normally
whatever that
see,
may be.
Yeah. And if you see their work in galleries, they don't have this great long didactic saying that you're supposed to feel this and this is where it all comes from.
Mm-hmm.
They don't do that. It's all about your own personal experience.
Mm-hmm. You're in the piece.
Yeah.
I mean, that's my favorite part is it's participatory.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess all art is participatory.
It is, but you interpret see, it, this but, is the big difference mm-hmm. here, right? And so what I tell people is a lot of art is a visual experience. Mm-hmm. This is a sensory experience. You have to look at it as you're not, like, you are in control. When you go into an art gallery and you look at 20 paintings on a wall, you're totally in control about how much time you spend, mm-hmm. what colors you see, how much, like, your eye moves around the canvas, mm-hmm. right? You're the director you're of your in experience. Control.
Okay. You curate your own.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right.
When you go into this piece, mm-hmm. your only control is the shadow that you cast and trigger the sounds. Mm-hmm. The sound experience you're having is the artist.
Controls yeah. you.
So they are controlling this environment.
Yes.
You get to be the one who triggers it. Mm-hmm. But in a way, like they are, what's the word? I don't want to use the word control. They are enveloping you with their ideas.
Yes.
And you're giving yourself over.
It's like being in the painting.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so in a way, it's more intimate.
Yes.
Right? Like it's a intimate experience that with Janet and George that you don't really get with a painter or a sculptor that, you know, if you don't give it the time, you're not having an intimate experience with those things. Like you don't go crawling inside of a sculpture and experience it from the inside.
No. Although that would be kind of cool.
Well, it'd be fun too. Yeah. But this is kind of the difference. And mm-hmm. if you go into it looking at it like that, where you understand that it's a different kind of experience than looking at art, I think you get a lot more out of it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it is an experiment. That's why it's called experiment.
Yeah. And it's so, for you to experiment.
I
know. And
right? I will say to people, have you seen the show? What I should be saying is, have you experienced the show?
Yeah.
Because it's not a see thing so much as an experience thing.
Yeah.
And a sound thing. The sound.
Although, you know what? I had one person in because, like, yes. it's a very, you know, like staff intensive show here. We have to guide people into the room and we give them the little rules as we take them in there. So I often am walking in, I explain, don't touch the speakers and it's just your shadow that, you know, makes it work. And, some people, don't even go up to the piece for the first minute. Mm-hmm. They just look at it because they're overwhelmed by mm-hmm. how it looks. And that's kind of neat too.
Yes. Right?
Like they walk in and go, yeah, wow.
And we all react to everything. It's so fun to be able to see people's reaction.
Yeah.
Some kids just go up and immediately start cruising around the,
yeah.
And others,
they figure it out very fast.
Yes.
And some people never figure it out.
Really? Like
some people walk right up to it, they cast their shadow, and they just stay in one spot.
Yes.
They don't know that if you move around, it changes,
even
right?
Just a little bit.
They just think, oh, I'm here, I'm making it make noise, and they just stay there. Mm-hmm. Stay, and I'm thinking, okay, you can move. But I don't want to curate their experience, right? So I'm just hoping and waiting. And
yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, it's just, everybody has their own thing happening there
and
with the sound.
It's a beautiful way to experience sound, just like radio is a beautiful way to experience.
Yeah. So the show's open Tuesday to Saturday.
Yes.
11 a.m. till 5 p.m.
Five.
And it goes until September 19th.
Yes.
So come in.
Yes.
And it's admission by donation. Mm-hmm. So whatever you can do.
Bring your classes.
Yes. Bring classes.
Those of you teaching who are on vacation, when you get back to work, this is your job one.
Not much vacation going on right now. I'm sure most of them are in the schools trying to organize their classrooms and figure stuff out. Oh, yeah. Especially for the young grades. Oh, my gosh. I think this is a crazy time.
They're pretty efficient at that, though.
Well, anyway.
Well, if I was a teacher, I wouldn't be there yet. No.
You'd try, right?
Yeah, I wouldn't.
So, more information on our website.
Yes.
All the time. www.salmonarmartcenter.ca. Mm-hmm. Click on participate. Mm-hmm. You'll see a date listing of all the events coming up in Salmon Arm.
Yes.
And then you can follow us on Facebook, mm-hmm. Salmon Arm Art Center. We put things on Facebook all the time about upcoming events. We've got coffee break this Thursday. And WOW, of course, continues till the end of August, possibly first week in September. We have teen art boot camps.
Yay!
There's still two more artist trading card ones, Thursday the 20th, and then the animation boot camp on the 25th. So that's for teenagers aged 12 to 16. Gosh, we just have so much going on. And then there's still things happening in the whole community.
Like absolutely.
All the different...
Culture crawl, because, walk around town, take it all in.
Exactly.
Yes.
There's just lots of things happening. So check out Participate and see what's going on and continue to do things. It's not every day you want to lie at the beach.
That's right.
Yeah.
And bring your radio.
Bring your radio. Yeah. Aww. Have a great week, everyone.
See you next time.